was, you know, too blatantly obviously sampled. They just kind of laughed because most of my samples are so obscure. You know, I like to do things like scratchy old children's records from thrift stores or historical speeches. I like to sample Herbert Hoover, things like that. So it's really interesting how sampling technology has changed and what can go on now. I'm not going to take up too much more of your time. I'm just going to say that I think sampling is free publicity. I mean, I always say, you know, where would Rick James be without MC Hammer? Or, you know, where would the Beatles be without Danger Mouse? Or where would you two be without Negative Land? Probably nowhere. Thank you.
Okay, at this point, what I'd like to do is, so we've sort of focused on one area that's sort of sample-based and dealing with culture jamming, and now I want to move into an area that deals with also the technology behind manipulation of samples and culture jamming, and I thought the perfect person to bring into that would be Trademark G of the Evolution Control Committee. So we're going to do a quick switch right here in terms of the audio and in terms of the video. So one thing I wanted to do is encourage people to check out these websites that we've been talking about because there is a lot of cool stuff going on on droplift.org, freespeechforsale.com, and snuggles.sensoryresearch.net, which is the general Snuggles website, which will provide you all sorts of cool stuff. So without further ado, Trademark G of the Evolution Control Committee.
Thanks a lot, Pan. Great. Hey, thanks very much. Hey, thanks very much for all of you for coming out here to the Church of Cut and Paste this Sunday morning. Also, a big thanks to Hope and 2600, and also to the hacking community in general. And I don't just say that to be nice, but I actually say that from a personal way. Actually, I am come here to admit to you that, yes, I was a teenage computer hacker in 1982! Yes, thank you. So, I was a very active hacker in 1982 at age 16 up until when War Games came out and it just became a little bit too above ground. And so I kind of shifted at that point to music and art. So really, I very consciously like changed this sort of hacking energy from a computer-directed hacking energy to an art and music hacking energy. And at that point, I launched the Evolution Control Committee. So I think we did our first show in 1986. And somewhere around 1992, I pitted together Public Enemy, Chuck D's vocals from Public Enemy, and Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass, which pulled together to be the Whipped Cream Mixes. And now I'm rather proud to say it's attributed to being the first mashup. Wow. How great is that? And so just to give you a little bit of the rest of the story, I've got a great nice video here that tells some other great stories of our history. It's a few years old now, but still pretty relevant. So let me just play it, and we'll test out the audio video.
After 14 years of audio collage and sound exploration, Evolution Control Committee are starting to make some serious waves. In January 2000, Evolution Control Committee received legal threats from CBS.
This is the CBS Evening News.
Concerning the band's release, Rocked by Rape.
Rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape.
A critique of violence in network TV news, created from samples of Dan Rather's news commentary and his well-known shock phrasing.
With Dan Rather reporting from CBS, CBS, CBS.
As the band faced a possible legal battle with the media giant, they turned to the public for support by creating Napster bombs, MP3s of the Rocked by Rape single disguised as unheard songs by popular artists. Since then, they have appeared several times in Spin and Bizarre magazine, as well as NPR's All Things Considered.
There is a song circulating on the internet that CBS does not endorse, does not want sold, and does not want heard.
So what are Evolution Control Committee up to now, and what do these sound pirates have in store for us next? copyright violation for the nation.
Copyright violation for the nation. Yes, copyright violation for the nation has been our slogan since back when violating copyrights, you had to try to. And so we've been cutting and pasting our way through legalities for quite a while. And not only through legalities of copyright and with audio, but also with hardware and things like that. Hacking is just a synonym for cutting, and cutting goes with pasting, after all. And by the way, keep a note, cutting and pasting, that originates from cutting and pasting audio tapes, all right? So we cut and paste audio, but also hardware, software, laws, ideas, and things like that. This thing is called the Thimbletron. I have a little video here, too, for that. And this thing is basically something that I made to hit enter a couple times. Thank you. To be able to perform all this crazy sample-based cut-and-pasted ridiculousness, what do you really use to do that? You know, turntables, yeah, kind of, but that's not really all that. And so I made this thing called the Thimbletron. It's 10 ordinary sewing thimbles on my fingertips. They're all wired together into some custom electronics I've hacked up into this computer. And basically, when I touch the thimbles together, it'll trigger samples for me. So that way I can actually perform some of this stuff rather than just sit behind the laptop and look like I'm answering my email during a whole show. So I thought I'd give you a little demo of that here. By the way, just to note that the thimbles, the Thimbletron and everything is another example of the whole cut and paste aesthetic because the thimbles, well, you know, stolen from my mom's sewing kit. The electronics that hacked up here, I just added the lights here, and those, the electronics behind those came from a baby monitor that I tore apart. And so you get the idea there. All right, let me just show you. You saw a little bit about that Rocked by Rape thing. I'll just show you the whole thing here, and we'll play along with that.
This is the CBS Evening News with Dan Rather reporting from CBS News headquarters in New York.
Good evening. Danger. War. Killer. Fraud. CIA, mayhem, crisis, horrible, inflation, military threat, plane debris, fatal heart attack, stress injuries, prison disaster, economic collapse, dangerous radiation, a tide of violence and human misery, a liar and an unremorseful killer, communist international smuggling pipeline, starving victims and how they die, chemical weapons, carpet bomb deaths, tough FBI kill and injure children, police conspiracy, negative attacks, discipline, sex and drinking binges, dying of a heart attack, dying of breast cancer, dying of a Japanese nuclear bomb, mountains of credit card debt, the mountain of cocaine, tons of cocaine, atomic bomb radiation experiments, unwitting test subjects, dangerous radiation, marijuana abuse, hooked on drugs.
Time for us to bug out.
Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Rock. Rock. Rock by rape. Sex, drugs, and rock by rape. Nazi war criminals, cancer, garbage, murder, caution, terrorist, castigation, police conspiracy, dramatic urban torture, drunk driving, hostage siege, government shutdown, collapses, desperation, despair, deep into debt, criminal persecuted, semi-automatic handgun, explosive gunman killed a tourist, funeral victims, racist massive lawsuit, hostage, ethnic war, cancer death rate fleeing for their lives, CIA narcotics operations, hungry, homeless, frustrated terrorists, spoiled, unsanitary, hard-hitting losers, brutal, bizarre, critical bombing, the gangs rule, criminal anti-government love triangle, deeper and deeper into damage, even death, anti-drug DEA, worldwide ban, time for us to bug out. Rock, rock, rock by rape, rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock. Rock. by rape, sex, drugs, rock by rape. Disgruntled conspirator attack, killed. U.S. warplane went down in flames, crash, gunned down, shooting death, blood drops, murderer. Desperate tragedy, isn't he dead? Death penalty, ransom note, forbidding, notorious, overwhelming, communist urban punishment, low ethics, extortion and murder. A plane crash set an entire neighborhood on fire. International smuggling pipeline. Make it faster, better, cheaper. Health risk, criminals murdering a man. Tough, diplomatic hell on earth. Magnetic radiation, fraudulent assassins, mysterious murder, chemical terrorism, military targets, fatal crash, danger, the freak accident, no known survivors, wild and woolly semi-automatic truck bomb, emergency anti-fatal shooting rampage, notorious negative police brutality, fear of the hidden Nazis next door, Marxist rebels, serious murderer, accidents, problems, punitive damages, like that negative heart-wrenching controversy. Time for us to bug out. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Rock, rock, rock by rape. Sex, drugs, rock by rape. Bug out, bug out, bug out, bug out.
And that's part of our world tonight. For the CBS Evening News, Dan Rather reporting. Good night, and have a great weekend.
Thank you very much. Before I have a real accident, I better make way here. But there are CDs of that for sale in the back, and Evolution Control Committee is very Googleable. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now, we've seen now some more of the technology aspects of this. Now, I want to really delve into the technological aspects in terms of social, political interaction, and introduce to you Ricardo Dominguez. He's done some amazing work in terms of technology and social issues. And so let's bring him up, and we'll get his laptop hooked up right now. So I hope that I'm sort of, again, sort of showing you that sort of Venn diagram of where technological exploration and hacking and culture jamming and exploring and all those things sort of mix together to create some really interesting pieces of art and some things to make you think. So here we go. Here is Ricardo Dominguez.
Hola. My son's back there making commentary, so I'll try to move ahead as quickly as possible. Yes, Dr. Zay, I hear you. Electronic civil disobedience, which is where I'll begin, is something that developed with Critical Art Ensemble in Tallahassee, Florida in the early 80s. We were not hackers. We did not have computers. All we saw what was available in the media, whether it was War Games or Tron or Colossus, the Forbin Project, or the Computer Wore Tennis Shoes, or Neuromancer. Those were the spaces that were available to us. And so Critical Art Ensemble took William Gibson's definition of cyberspace as a mass consensual hallucination to heart. And in that book, he defines a situation where hackers, a hacker and a cyborg, are unable to break through a very hard bunker of informatics. And they have to go to another group, the Panther Moderns. The Panther Moderns are a theater group who create 10,000 realities that then enable hackers and cyborgs to move forth to break the informatic bunker. So we decided to be the Panther Moderns. And the way that we did this was through a form of utopian plagiarism, which we enunciated in Electronic Disturbance, our first book, actually written in the 80s, but published in 1994, I think, available online, copyright. And there we decided to begin to map out the future of the 90s and how we would intervene in that emerging future. We divided it into three areas of emerging capitalism. In the early 90s, between 1990 and 1994, digital capitalism would emerge. Our method of intervention would be electronic civil disobedience, which was a new version of civil disobedience. That's mass nonviolent action within that performative matrix. The next area would be the emergence of biocapitalism, working with ACT UP, AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power in the 80s. Community research initiatives were developed in terms of dealing with interventions into the biological core. And of course, some of you may know what happened to some of my co-mates, particularly Steve Kurtz, who was accused of bioterrorism in the 2003 and has won the court case. And then finally would be particle capitalism, the emergence of nanotechnology from 98 to 2001, and the area of intervention there would be nanotoxicology. So in the early 90s, I came here to New York City and started working with the artist Wolfgang Stehle to create Thing.net, an internet service provider for artists and activists. We host such groups, and this was, of course, before the web, but later they became fairly well known, Artmark, eToy, the Yes Men, Electronic Disturbance Theater, of course. Now, one of the questions for electronic civil disobedience was that we had a theory that it would be nonviolent direct action online, but we didn't have a practice. That is, the matrix itself wasn't really played out. And so reading the RAND Corporation papers of the early 90s of Ron Felt and Aquila, they began to define cyber war and cyber crime and cyber terrorism. So I thought that would be a good theoretical space to then intervene a difference, and that is electronic civil disobedience, which would not work in the same way as cyberspace in terms of cyber terrorism, cyber crime, and cyber war. That is, that electronic civil disobedience would work on this mass consensual hallucination paradigm and shift the semantic core of the language. So that was prepared, but we really did not have a fullness of vision to develop the idea until 1994. And now I'm going to do a really bad keynote that I put up here as I was on a plane at Red Eye this morning. And it was in 1994, 1 minute after midnight, that the Zapatistas emerged at the same time as NAFTA, the free trade zone, the first act of neoliberalism in practice. The digital Zapatistas emerged exactly at that same time. The Zapatistas ripped into the electronic fabric. Unbeknownst to themselves and to others, an impossibility occurred, a consensual hallucination. Even to this day, whenever I speak at the Naval Intelligence or the NSA or any of those places, they consistently always ask, how did they do it? Well, we don't know. I always say it's Mayan technology. But it is not the speed of technology or the speed of power that the Zapatistas brought, but the speed of dreams. That is, that they spoke from the future. And so they enabled us to begin to think about how to put electronic civil disobedience from theory into practice. They came up here sometime around 1995, not as Zapatistas, but as everyday what we would call wet minds instead of wet backs. And these wet minds spoke to us at the Thing at Chelsea, and they liked the idea of electronic civil disobedience, and they said, we will tell you when you should launch it. So we sat around waiting and thinking. Meanwhile, the Anonymous Digital Coalition in Italy began to do their first net strikes, first against the French for nuclear testing in the Pacific, and then began to think about doing work with the Zapatistas as well in 1995. So it's the Anonymous Digital Coalition in Italy that really began some of the early practice. But what happened was that in 1997, December 22nd, the Akhtial massacre happened in Chiapas. 45 women and children were killed. We felt as the digital Zapatistas that this was the time. Indeed, the Zapatistas said, now it's time to launch electronic civil disobedience. So it is now 10 years since Brett Stahlbaum and Carmen Karasik of the Electronic Disturbance Theater, along with Stefan Ray and myself, created the automated tool, the Zapatista FledNet. We just celebrated, as I said, this last April, 10 years. We launched it. About 10,000 people participated in the action. One of the things was that we weren't quite clear as to what the Anonymous Digital Coalition was originally doing with the NetStrike. And they were recommending that we use the reload refresh button over and over, say between 1 and 3 o'clock against the Mexican president website. And what Brett Stahlbaum and Carmen Karasik said is, why should we hurt our little fingers? Why don't we just create a simple script that will take into account how many people join and it will hit the refresh reload button for us? So about 10,000 people joined. We did a virtual sit-in against the president's website. People around the planet participated, and the president's website responded. So many people are requesting this page that you'll have to come back later. The other thing that we did is a traditional tactical joke of the 404 file. That is, of course, you guys know that if you put some information in and it comes up, this information 404 is not found on this server. What we did is we took the Jody.org joke or Dadaist joke of that, and instead we started uploading into the Mexican web server, does justice exist on this server? And the server would respond, justice does not exist on this government, Mexican government web server. Does justice, democracy. So doing an immaterial gesture at the same time that we were doing a material gesture. We were on the front page of the New York Times the next day. They said hacktivists were here. We didn't like the word hacktivist because we didn't feel we were truly hackers. We said we were lower than script kiddies, really. So it was an honor to be called a hacktivist, but we didn't feel that was the right term. It was electronic civil disobedience, moving the paradigm of the network from communication and documentation to one of nonviolent direct action online. The largest event that we did was on September 9th, 1998 at Ars Electronica. It was called Swarm. We did an action against the Pentagon, who was selling military hardware to the Mexican army to use against the Zapatistas, Frankfurt Stock Exchange, who wanted to buy uranium rights in Chiapas, and the Mexican president, as always. It was there that we had an encounter with our first hackers, Hart, and they said, EDT is pure evil. Which is better than being impure evil, I think. And we said, well, we want to learn from hackers, but we're going to do this action nonetheless, and we shall be pure evil. The Pentagon attacked us. They did the first information war weapon at us. We don't even know what that was, probably some sort of JavaScript or something of the sort. But the next day, we were in the newspaper again, front page, New York Times, a few weeks later, and the U.S. Department of Defense Department, New York Times, said if the electronic disturbance theater wasn't illegal, it was certainly immoral. I like the quality of immorality in terms of activism. I always say we are not digitally correct hacktivists. We are digitally incorrect hacktivists. The battle, yes. Okay, so I'll move forward. One of the outcomes of this was that we worked with the legal departments and lawyers across the globe, and one of our major outcomes was that we did a deportation class action against Lufthansa with part of Chaos Computer Club, No Borders Community, and several street protest groups. It worked extremely well, but about a year later, the Secret Service of Germany came and took all the servers that were used and accused them of cyber terrorism. The lower court decided that it was cyber terrorism, but with our legal counsel and groups, we pushed through that it was electronic civil disobedience. It should be treated as civil disobedience. That is, you get put in jail only for 24 hours. It then went up to the higher regional court. As you can see, it was overruled in the initial verdict. The higher court found that the online demonstration did not constitute a show of force, but was intended to influence public opinion. And this is predominantly the way here in the U.S. and around the world electronic civil disobedience is being used. I'll finish here. My current work is at CalIT2. It's a research lab. We're doing border disturbance technology. We're focusing in on immigrant transporter tools. That is, we hacked into the GPS of cell phones in order to update those cell phones and give them to people crossing the border so they know exactly where they are. And then we're also investigating areas of nanotoxicology. Thank you very much.
Okay. I would like to encourage people. We've run out of time. And I hope that we've sort of shown you the seeds of some really amazing things that can be done with technology in terms of hacking, hacktivism, culture jamming, etc. We're going to move to the back area, and feel free to come and talk to us. We've got some other people that actually didn't have a chance to talk. So we'll be back over there. If you have any questions or comments, come find us and talk to us. And we've also got some other stuff, CDs and books and whatever. So thank you very much.
Thank you.